Call this meeting to order.
Thank you.
Would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I just saw that title.
You've been volunteered.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll meet tomorrow, aren't we?
Good, yes.
Trying to do something myself. Present are Chairman Tim McCain, Clerk Bill Bailey, Betty Harding, Roger Taylor, and Steve Ross, and we do have a quorum. Welcome to guests. Thank you for coming to our regularly scheduled board meeting, or maybe sticking around for our regular scheduled board meeting, whichever one may be the case. And let's go ahead and work through our agenda today. Fire Chief, would you share your report with us?
Sure. So this report is for the January regular board meeting. This is our December report coming forward from there. As under manpower, we had one new member that we met earlier in the special session, Dina Brady, starting again. She's a 24-hour paramedic for us. She's going to go on her 24-hour, 48-hour rotating shift. Again, Dina is really a plug-and-play member, lives in the community, or had lived in the community, now has recently moved out. Been on the department before, has family in the community, so truly a plug-and-play. We worked with her on the Southwest Ambulance side as well, so someone that we have great resources and ties from as well. So basically hit the ground running for us today. And this continues our work towards eliminating excess overtime and providing inconsistent service again by not having a full-time paramedic on every shift on a monthly basis. So as of December, we put a paramedic in every single shift around the clock as we move forward. Number two, as a reminder, the savings for this have been able to allow us to acquire single-person medical coverage for the members without medical coverage that we have. So in the old days, we had the same three or four people basically working every single day. Well, the federal government says anything over after 212 hours of a 28-day pay period constitutes overtime. Well, if you do your math very quickly, you can see after nine and a quarter shifts, you're going to end up being on overtime. Well, because we didn't have available manpower, that was our only choice, so we spent a lot of money paying three or four people to be here almost every single day. And we didn't have the right skill sets we needed to be successful. So by bringing this additional manpower and plugging them into those 24, 48-hour shifts allows us to do that more cost-effectively and having the right people we need to be successful as we move forward. Under facility and equipment, again, Dean's still with us to kind of recap on that. Dean and his grandson Bruce have done a tremendous job on that. We're getting really, really close. It's been all Dean and his grandson Bruce doing that job. You know, I've ordered parts and I really roped him into doing that for us. He's done a great job. And he's even going to spray it for us. We've been able to make him whole on the equipment, but if I had to pay for his hours, I'd be broke. So, Dean, thank you very much for all the hard work you've done on that. Number four, the radio repeater is back in service. Again, all repairs have been done. This is our communication system. We've had a lot of failures in our communication system. So by getting this maintenance done and preventive maintenance done, we've been able to make sure our communication systems are up and meet our needs 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. I've implemented a performance maintenance contract with Canyon State Wireless to give us 100% service on that, and if we go down, we actually get a refund on that contract as well. The Verizon Tower we talked about earlier as well too, so some of these are recap. This really was a partnering for our community. We bring in about an extra $18,000 a year. If you multiply that by AT&T, the old Nextel, the old Cricket, you know, and Airbeam, it adds up, but it truly was a service need for us to drive forward for our community. We heard from our community that we had very poor Verizon service because we are shadowed by the Casa Grande Mountain. This will allow us to have tremendous coverage for not only our area, but Toltec and Evoy as well. So we're glad to be able to work with the community to get that done. We brought that contract on site, managed that from a project management standpoint. We went live earlier than what we thought, and the only thing that's really holding it up now is a meter from APS, and we can program that software and go forward from there. Also, through the month, we made several repairs on engine 568 and ladder 568 as well. Again, I can't say enough about Captain Lopez. I mean, he saves us so much money by not sending this equipment out on a time and material bill. Between him and myself, we're able to identify what we think's wrong, and when he's on shift with us, he's doing his part of that shift. So again, kudos to Captain Lopez and getting that work done. Under training, again, our image trend software, we've done training around that with our target solution software. Captain Ethicon led us through those trainings. The SCBA competency course, which is kind of our obstacle course we go through, we're doing that on an annual basis, recertification training. Captain Hemmings is leading on that, and this is something we'll have done by the end of March. Our landing zone out back, or the LZ, we had air evac helicopters here, was on the 7th of January, and conducted their annual landing zone, or LZ, training. And myself and the board all attended the Arizona Fire Districts Association Conference in Laughlin, Nevada, on the 13th through the 17th. Procedures, we've talked about a lot of these as well too, so I won't go through those. We continue to drive and create standard operating procedures and standard operating guidelines for things that we are doing inconsistently. I'm a big believer in what gets measured gets accomplished. And if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you've always gotten. So this allows us to make those step change improvements to be successful. The CLN process on the second page, it continues as well. It starts with first building manpower, so we can convince the Department of Health Services that we can support this endeavor as we go forward with it as well. The world of certifications of necessity is changing greatly every day. It's in the Supreme Court system right now in the state of Arizona. Southwest is being bought by AMR, which is a parent of PTI, and you're looking at a conglomeration, but looking at a monopoly from that process. So I want to be staged that we have enough manpower that we can do what's right for Arizona City to move forward from there as well. I continue to meet with the chiefs from Eloy, Casa Grande, and Superstition Fire Medical Fire Districts to get that process in place. And again, 19, we've talked a lot tonight, and the folks have talked a lot tonight about our manpower model and how that has allowed us to focus on opportunities. Under community service, in the month of January, we helped 7 citizens with smoke detector challenges, helped change out batteries. Many of these are either very elevated or vaulted ceilings where we don't want somebody that's getting a little senior in their years to be up on top of a ladder. So we're telling us to call us that. So first question is, how much does it cost? Doesn't cost anything. We'll bring the batteries. We'll look at your detectors. If the detector's bad, we'll help you install a new one as well. And that's just part of our community service to go forward from there. If you kind of jump down to 24 with that one, I'm working with American Family Insurance Companies, to actually get free smoke detectors and batteries to help us with that as well. So we provide the labor, we provide the smoke detector, and we provide the battery for us. Many times the homeowner will buy the batteries for us, but if they either cannot afford one or don't have the means to afford one, we'll provide that for them as well. So more importantly, we start to tell them how to use them and why they're important and where we go. We still have a lot of homes in our community that either don't have one or just have one, or are getting to the point where they're 20 to 25 years old and they're not working like they should be working anymore. And in 25, I'm also working on a grant with the federal government to purchase car seat and bicycle helmets for Arizona City residents that don't have those or don't have a means to be able to afford. School events and groups, again, as Mrs. Rogers says, Principal Rogers says, we try to get to the school at least 6 times a month. If you look at 27, myself and fire district members, we were there for a read-along story night, we were there for an education night, we were there for a fire drill, and we were there for a greet and meet at lunchtime where we just sit down with the kids and talk about fire prevention as we help them and razz them about what they're eating for lunch that day. So it just kind of breaks it up from there, and I always push the broccoli. So. Contracts of business, again, we have a brand new contract with Verizon Wireless going forward. Again, that put about $17,000 in our coffers to go forward, and that'll be an annual contract as well. So not only did we serve the community, but it also brought some money in and eliminated dead zones, not only for us, but the residents of Arizona City as well. 32 has been one that's been looming with us a long time. The AT&T contract that they presented to us was about a 37% decrease, and it was a take it or leave it. So I chose to leave it. And I think they tried to see who would hold their breath the longest. And when I wrote a letter telling them I was going to pull the power to the meter, lo and behold, I got new contract people to work with, and we've established that contract with a 3% raise from here on out as well. So it's important for us to work with our AT&T customers as well, but it's also important for us to be fair and equitable to the money that we put into that contract to maintain that tower, and also to be fair and equitable to the other cell service providers that we charge to use our towers as well. 33, we have the ongoing generator study project we're doing to bring an emergency generator out back, and we're also working with Airbeam and 34 for a satellite dish project. They want to put a 30 by 24 satellite dish out back to provide an alternate, more affordable means for television service here in Arizona City. So we're studying that as well to see what the impact will be. We're getting a little busy in the back with our towers, and I'm not sure if we want to commit for a 30-foot by 24-foot tall dish on a 14 by 14 pad at this time. But we're looking for that. But the good thing is it won't cost us a dime. We'll get free service, and there's also a revenue stream in, not only on a monthly basis, but for every user that goes out, we end up getting a few cents back from them up to a maximum amount of $750 a month. But again, that's revenue coming back into the fire district, and a stream that's unique for most special districts here in the state of Arizona. And we talked earlier about 35 and 36, writing contracts with Central Arizona College and Central Arizona Valley Institute of Technology. As the one gentleman talked here, Firefighter Brown, that spoke first, just completed his EMT skills. That gives us an extra set of hands that doesn't cost any money for us to run. More importantly, it gives him an opportunity to use the skills he's just acquired for going to school for 2 years. But that allows us to have two additional members on every single day at no cost, and it allows us as a fire district to give back to the fire community going forward from there. Hopefully, if we lose some of our senior members, we can replace with some of these junior members that have come here and donated their time, and we've donated our experience to go forward with them as well. And that's all I have for the fire chief's report for the month of January.
Thank you, Chief. Anyone have a comment or anything regarding the Chief's report?
I just have one comment. Roger Taylor speaking. Have we ever looked at solar, the potential of solar of battery backup? I know they're doing that in California in some areas. I honestly am not that knowledgeable about it. But it appeared to me to be something that I want to look at.
We did, the game's changing daily with APS, so how we do that and how it requires us to go down. They're looking for a south or a southwest roof platform, which we really don't have that part, but we have a lot of ground we can put it up on. The whole part now is whether we buy that solar system and charge back our power from it, or do we rent a system that's out there and get a reduced rate from it. Mm-hmm. And that's the part on cost versus rewards benefits that we're still trying to hammer out to see what's going to work. The problem is when we need power,
yes.
Lots of power. And the solar system is good for a battery backup for low voltage use over a long period of time. We have high voltage uses over a very, very acute time period, and solar doesn't normally play to that, so the bank we have to buy really makes it almost 2.5 times higher than the power I'd have to buy right
wow.
now.
Okay. Wow. Answers that. Thank you.
Cool. Anything else? Okay. Staff reports.
Okay, so if you go to tab number 6, the first chart you have on there again is our fractile response times. Again, we've gone from missing calls to having our average response time now down to 4 minutes and 31 seconds from the time we're dispatched to the time we're on the scene. So again, we have travel time getting out there as well. So our goal is once we receive a call, we're wheels turning in less than 60 seconds. So whether it's 2 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we receive that call, just like you saw the gentlemen and ladies here today, we're wheels turning in 60 seconds. And our fractile response time for that to be on scene is 4 minutes and 31 seconds from that. If you look at that highest response time of 12 minutes, 42 seconds, that's an anomaly for us. And this is a call we had a stage on, which was a hostile situation with a gentleman with a handgun. So we staged there a long time till we were able to respond in safely, and that's why we have such a long response time there. But if you look at that blue line, you'll see there on the left-hand side of that graph at 4 minutes and 31 seconds, the data to the left of that are all the calls we've ran through the month, so all of our volume of calls from January 1st to January 31st that fell below that, and you'll see the factile response time up to 7 minutes, which is our 90%. So 90% of our calls we've gotten to in 7 minutes or less, and our average time is 4 minutes and 31 seconds. And that takes in time, commute time, to physically get to those calls. Of course, the calls that are closer, that helps it. Those calls are down at Overfield and Milligan, especially with the roads being tore up, takes us a little longer to get there as well. But that shows the response times for the month.